Right. So Lesmond Mitchell is kind of a unique case, but they all are. The three who were executed last month, they all, each case had its own issues. But the Lesmond Mitchell case is unique because Mr. Mitchell is an American Indian and the only one who is on federal death row. And there's an issue that goes along with that. Could you explain that issue?
Mr. Mitchell was convicted and sentenced to death for the murder of two other Navajo tribe members on Native lands. And he would be the first Native American in U.S. history to be executed by the federal government for the murder of other Native Americans on Indian lands.
So generally, what the United States government has done is respect the sovereignty of nations like the Navajo Nation in deciding whether or not they would send someone to death row.
That's right. And Congress was very concerned about this. I mean, obviously, the United States has a horrendous history when it comes to federal government dealings with Native Americans. And during the 1800s, when the government was essentially moving all the Native tribes off of their lands and sending them to reservations, the government decided that the way they would work things out is to treat each of the tribes as though they were sovereign countries. They would have the same status that states would have, and they would be able to govern their own people on their own lands. After the tribes had been moved off their lands and into reservations, Congress began passing laws that would govern the way Native Americans would be treated in U.S. courts. And Native Americans had the status of states. Each tribe was considered its own nation. And the tribal lands were considered to be federal lands for purposes of judicial jurisdiction. And what that meant was that Native Americans could be tried in federal courts, but only under certain conditions. And the conditions were set forth in a statute called the Major Crimes Act. The Major Crimes Act said that for enumerated crimes, including murder, the death penalty would be available only if the tribes had agreed in advance that their citizens could be subject to the death penalty. Now, in the case of the Navajo, in fact, in the case of virtually all of the Native tribes, they all said, we do not want the death penalty to be applied to our citizens. We find it to be against our culture and traditions, and we will not opt in to any legislation that could potentially make our citizens subject to the death penalty.
If it is indeed their choice, and they have made that choice, then how is it and why is it at this point that the United States government has decided to go ahead with this execution?
Well, that's what this whole case is about. Because in the 1990s, when Congress adopted a new law, the Federal Death Penalty Act, they made the death penalty available for certain other crimes. And among them were things such as carjacking, resulting in death. So we have this big expansion of criminal law in the 1990s. And it turns out that this constitutes a loophole to the Major Crimes Act, because the Major Crimes Act doesn't list carjacking resulting in death. That wasn't even something that was contemplated as a potential federal crime at the time. And the Navajo tribe said, when Mr. Mitchell was charged, that we're against the death penalty for him. And the family members of his victims said, we're against the death penalty for him. And the local U.S. attorney, the federal prosecutor in Arizona, said, we respect the opinion of the Navajo tribes and the victims, and we don't think that the death penalty should be sought in this case. What happened then was that the case went up to Washington, and then Attorney General John Ashcroft said, we are going to seek the death penalty, and we're going to seek the death penalty based on the fact that this was a carjacking, not on the fact that this was a murder.
I'm wondering if the Death Penalty Information Center sees this as a kind of a violation of the spirit of the relationship between the United States and the Navajo Nation.
Yeah, I think that this is a significant violation, not just of the relationship between the United States and the Navajo Nation, but between the United States and all Native Americans. I think it's ironic that the administration is seeking to carry out the death penalty against Lesmond Mitchell only weeks after the United States Supreme Court issued a landmark opinion in an Oklahoma case that made clear that Oklahoma didn't have jurisdiction to try Native Americans for offenses committed on Native lands. And the United States Supreme Court, in very flowery language, talked about the importance of tribal sovereignty and talked about the horrendous history in the United States of violating tribal sovereignty. Coming on the heels of that, in an instance in which the federal administration doesn't have to carry out the death penalty, this is a major slap in the face. It's a major affront to Native sovereignty, not just the Navajo, to all of the Native American tribes in the United States and the Alaskan communities.
I think with the executions that happened just a little while back, the federal executions in Terre Haute, I think maybe a lot of people thought, because of varying reasons, that one or more of them would not go through. But they all did. Are you seeing this one as possibly going through as well?
I think there's still some significant legal issues that are being adjudicated in the case, but the way the United States Supreme Court has treated similarly serious issues in the other three federal cases, I think it is probable that the court will allow the execution to go forward. Now, that doesn't mean that it should, and it doesn't necessarily mean that it will. Mr. Mitchell has several legal challenges that have already been denied. He, along with the other prisoners, had a challenge to the lethal injection process, and that was just denied last week. He also had a separate challenge under the Federal Death Penalty Act, saying that the method of execution the federal government was going to use was inconsistent with Arizona's approach, and the federal law requires that federal executions be carried out in the same manner that an execution would have been carried out in the state in which the conviction occurred. But that also was denied, and earlier this week, a federal appeals court declined to grant a stay while they were considering the appeal of that. So I think on the legal side, the only issue that is left is something in front of the U.S. Supreme Court right now on whether Mr. Mitchell's lawyers were improperly prevented from interviewing jurors to find out whether there was anti-Navajo bias in this case. And that's a very significant issue because first the government sought the death penalty over the wishes of the Navajo community. Then they struck most of all of the Native American jurors from the case and impaneled an almost all-white jury. They used the fact that Mr. Mitchell was being detained before trial in a Navajo prison. They used that as a way to interrogate him without the right to counsel in circumstances in which no white person would have been permitted to be interrogated. And so there's evidence that came in this case that would have been unconstitutional to use if Mr. Mitchell had been white as opposed to Native American. And finally, during the course of the trial, the prosecutors made a number of arguments that seemed to play on anti-Native biases using a variety of stereotypes. All of that made a very strong case for potential jury discrimination. But then the federal judge in this case, following Arizona law, did not allow Mr. Mitchell's lawyers to interview the jurors. And so they have appealed that, and that's now in front of the United States Supreme Court. And when we're talking about the irony of disregarding Native sovereignty just after the United States Supreme Court has said how important it is. Here, the United States Supreme Court in the last several years had said that you are permitted to interview jurors to determine whether there was racial bias that affected the case. And the federal government, although it doesn't have to, is arguing that because he hasn't already shown evidence of bias, he should not be entitled to interview the very jurors that the judge prevented him from interviewing. It's a catch-22, and it's the type of argument that that you wouldn't want to make if respecting Native sovereignty and respecting the rights of Native Americans was entering into the equation.
Given the timbre of things with the executions that have already happened and the success of the federal government in carrying out those executions, do you see the possibility of the government setting more dates for more executions coming up?
I think that's part of what the government's strategy is. They were attempting to lift a stay of execution that's in effect for many of the members for many of the prisoners who are on federal death row. There are a lot of things that suggest that what we're seeing here has more to do with politics than it has to do with the fair and orderly administration of the law. The prisoners who were selected weren't selected for execution because of any particularly compelling federal interest. They were selected because of the nature of the offenses and because, and we've already seen this, some of the supporters of the president have been trying to argue that his opponents favor the rights of murderers, child murderers, police murderers, more so than favor the rights of family members of victims. So we know that this whole process has been politicized. And I think that if the government is able to lift the stays of execution that are currently in place for other death row prisoners, they're going to attempt to do so. One of the things that I think is critical here, and it's critical for the health and safety of folks in the Terre Haute area, is that nobody has to carry out executions during the midst of the worst global pandemic in more than a century. If these death sentences are lawful, and if they're constitutional, they can be carried out safely once the pandemic is under control. The only reason one would want to carry them out now is to make a political statement. And that's highly inappropriate when you're dealing with a punishment like the death penalty. When you're dealing with matters of life and death, you want to make sure that you are following the law scrupulously. You want to make sure that you're not putting the public or anybody else in danger when you are trying to carry out the law. But the entire method that the federal government here has adopted, their entire approach and all of their arguments suggest that they're doing this as kind of a vanity set of executions because the president wants them, not because there is any major national necessity to try to carry them out now. As I said, nobody needs to place the public health at risk to carry out executions. These can be safely done if they're lawful, once the pandemic subsides.
Just one more question, and this may be kind of outside your scope, but say the execution of Mr. Mitchell goes through, the implications, relationships between the federal government and all tribes in America, what do you see as the far-reaching impact there?
I think this sends a terrible message. The current administration has said that it is interested in improving relations with Native Americans. And it is said that it respects tribal sovereignty. There's a clemency petition that's currently before the Trump administration. It's supported by the National Congress of American Indians. It's supported by the Navajo government. It's supported by letters from 13 separate tribal governments and a petition signed by more than 230 Native Americans who are members of more than 90 tribes. There is overwhelming tribal support for clemency for Mr. Mitchell. And I think it is in the government's interest, if we truly do care about good relations between Native Americans and the United States government, it's in the government's interest to grant that clemency petition. If the government doesn't do so, it's reopening all of the wounds over the last several hundred years, and it's simply saying that we're going to do what we can because we are more powerful and your rights don't matter. I think that that is a terrible message to send, but I think it's one that the federal government risks sending.